one of the prerequisites was that the stories be based in New Hampshire. So we were also looking for stories that represent different parts of New Hampshire or different angles on the New Hampshire mystique, if you will. And so we got, you know, trips back in time. We have stories that take place in tiny towns, and we have them that take place in the mean streets of Manchester. So it's a nice batch of a very diverse array of crime fiction. There is an interesting twist in this. The cover art was done by a great artist who actually he hopefully will do all of our covers. He did the first one as well. His name's Mark Sutherland. But he did this without a clue as to what the stories were going to be. And that's very in keeping with the whole history of Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction was generated quickly, and the artist would be commissioned to do a story basically with, you know, a concept in mind, but no words to work from. So the cover of this this is almost a story in itself that's unwritten. If you look at it, there's a scene of downtown Manchester. You can see City Hall Plaza in the background. And in the foreground is a man with a monocle who's obviously been shot, and he looks like perhaps a foreign spy or something. But there's no story like that in the book.
I know you've got one story in here that took place colonial times.
Yeah.
There's another story in here that takes place at the shipyards.
Right, and that one almost did not, it was not acceptable because, of course, it's debatable whether the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard is actually in New Hampshire.
That's true, yeah. You're weighing into that debate now.
Yes, because as far as we're concerned, we own it. We just don't want the hazardous waste there. We just want the taxable land.
You wrote in your blog that the overall quality of the writing was better this time around compared to the first compilation, Live Free or Undead.
I think anybody can write a monster story if you have a grasp of the English language. There is a lot of design involved in a mystery story. The whole concept of it is an unraveling, an unveiling, or a progress. You can't just sort of roll it off the top of your head. You really have to think it through because the reader is critical of it's like a magic trick. They're observing the style and the rollout to make sure that you're not, you know, stretching plausibility.
They're always watching your hand.
They're watching your hands. They want to see, you know, which cup the bean is under.
So what stands out for you as a general theme in pulp fiction from New Hampshire writers?
Well, I'm not sure this is specific to New Hampshire. I do think that New Hampshire is very appropriate environment for pulp fiction because the nature of the state is these regions or towns or even people who all seem a little larger than life. It's the quality of a small state that everything in it seems a little bigger in comparison. A lot of easy targets in the state to caricature into a pulp fiction format.
You unveiled the book with a reading at the Barley House in Concord, and I wanted to ask you how that experience was compared to, you know, a traditional bookstore setting.
There was something about the setting of and maybe it's just this book, maybe it's just crime fiction, but the setting of being in a pub, people tipping a stein and maybe having a burger while they're listening, the atmosphere was just right. I think we're going to be doing more of that. It's a little bit like, you know, Poetry Slam, because the readings are really just like 3-minute excerpts from the stories, and the readers get a real kick out of being able to do this. And if it's done right, it's very entertaining. We're taking literature into the pubs, and it's certainly an appropriate audience. They might not be a bookish audience, and yet pulp fiction is really fiction for the masses. So you want to get it out to the people.
It's all about marketing.
As crass as that may sound, something that was really designed to be ephemeral and to be bought for a quarter at the corner market can become a work of art. And that's, I think, what's happened to Pulp Fiction. It has become American art, really, in many ways, at its purest,